baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
One.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. My name is Brandon Drum, here with Parker Thune. And it's recruiting. I just got off the phone with a very, very, very big conversation. We're not going to dive exclusively into all of that on here, but we're going to dive some of it. Give you all a little bit of nibbles here. But we've got Bo Bentley talk. We got Jaden O'Neill talk. We got tight end talk that we're going to discuss on here. Running back. There's some running back news that we're going to discuss on here. Lots of 2026 recruiting right here. The best podcast for that, OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast. But first, we want to thank our sponsors. Parker, take it away.
And that starts with Riverwind Casino, our presenting sponsor here on the Under the Visor podcast. Riverwind Casino has been OKC's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars, and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Also want to shout out the good folks at Jana King, a proud partner of OU Athletics, and the greatest team to ever clean, delivering spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. Find the solution that's right for you by checking them out at janiking.com. That's JANIKING.com. A word from Mando. You've probably heard us talk about Mando before if you listen to this podcast with any degree of regularity. Mando whole body deodorant is safe to use anywhere on your body. Use your imagination here, literally anywhere. It was created by a doctor who saw how commonly body odor was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control it for up to 72 hours. Proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. It's baking soda free. It's paraben free. You can get it in a variety of fresh scents like bourbon leather, clover woods, Mount Fuji, or pro sport. And it's not just about the whole body deodorant. It is, but you can get it in several different forms, including the solid stick deodorant, the cream tube deodorant, as well as two free products of your choice, like the mini body wash and the deodorant wipes that Mando offers as well. When you purchase Mando's starter pack, which is a great way to kick off your experience if you're a new customer, as a special offer for our listeners, new customers are going to get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you use code INSIDER at shopmando.com. S-H-O-P-M-A-N-D-O.com. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you. And finally, folks, the Oklahoma City Thunder are moving on to the Western Conference semifinals for the first time since the Kevin Durant era. And so if you want to turn your knowledge about the Thunder and the ability to prognosticate what happens in their next contest into real world winnings, tap in with Prize Picks. It's the best place to turn your knowledge into cash. With millions of members, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. Cash in on the basketball playoffs with Prize Picks. Whether it's points, rebounds, assists, take your pick of more or less on as little as two players for your shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash today. Join millions of users and sign up. Get $50 instantly when you play your first $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks also offers weekly promotions that can lead to big payouts like Taco Tuesday. Each Tuesday, Prize Picks discounts select player projections up to 25% to provide even more value for your lineups. So, download the app today, Use code OU Insider to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code OU Insider to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. All right, Brandon, we got news on the Bo Bentley front. And I would venture to say that this is the biggest storyline pertaining to OU recruiting right now. There have been a couple of commitments since we last podcasted. We'll mention those and dig into those here in a little bit. Nico Jandro committed, Ja'Cory Smith committed. But most notably, I think, Bo Bentley, four-star quarterback out of Salina, Texas, has switched up his official visit schedule. Georgia landed Jared Curtis. Georgia is out of the Bentley sweepstakes. It is OU. It is LSU. The plan had been for Bentley to visit LSU on June 20th through the 22nd. They were going to get the last visit. His Oklahoma visit was going to be June 13th through the 15th. Now he's going to visit Oklahoma June 6th through the 8th, but he has moved the LSU visit to May 30th through June 1st. So, Brandon, obviously, there's a lot to unpack here regarding this whole situation, and this conversation isn't going anywhere. It's going to be top of mind for pretty much every single Sooner recruiting fanatic over the next 3 weeks, but if what you were concerned about was LSU getting the last shot at Bentley, well, now it's Oklahoma that's getting the last shot. So that sets up well if you think that matters this time of year. And to be fair, it does matter. It doesn't, it's not always deterministic, but it does matter.
It matters a great deal when a kid is announcing after the visits take place. And don't get it twisted. This was a chess move by Arbuckle in Oklahoma. Everybody kind of had a sense that Jared Curtis was five-star quarterback. Jared Curtis was going to go to Georgia, which was going to eliminate the June 6th visit. You and I talked about it. I talked to sources. I told you about the conversation I had with sources regarding the June 6th. And it was always, that's the idea of moving it to June 6th for Oklahoma, but they got to get things situated first, and the Jared Curtis domino had to fall into place first. That's why Oklahoma had it on the 13th. It was a lone standing OV. That OV was never going to take place on the 13th. It just wasn't. That's not how that was going to play out. That's not what Oklahoma wanted it to play out. They were waiting. Now, I guess if Curtis would have went to Oregon, yeah, then everything would have lined up and stayed true. But the way that things were falling into place, it felt like it just wasn't going to happen. And that opened up the June 6th for Oklahoma to be able to move in. The interesting thing is I thought the interesting move was moving LSU from the 6th to the 30th. Now, I thought that was interesting. But Bo Bentley's been wanting to get away. He's been wanting to get this thing over with. So that does make sense to move everything quicker and move it earlier, the visits. That way he can do whatever he has to do to make the decision and have it done. And I mean, I think for both sides, it's good because LSU obviously needs a quarterback. And for Oklahoma and Jaden O'Neal, we'll get into that. I don't know how much that decision actually is going to matter. And y'all hear me say that, and I know your ears perk up. Like, what? Why wouldn't it matter? It's going to matter, but we don't know. With what we were told tonight, we don't know if that – we still have to do some more digging with sources, I guess, Parker, is what I'm saying, on the O'Neal side of things. But it seems like things are moving better there with Jaden O'Neal as well. So if Oklahoma – if Ben Arbuckle can somehow pull off, because they're going to need both those quarterbacks, if he can somehow pull that off, Parker, oh, my. Oh, my. And right now, you got to feel good about Oklahoma, right? Like, you went and saw Bo Bentley. You have to feel good about Oklahoma now with the move in the OVs, right?
No doubt. I mean, you feel better than you did with LSU getting the last visit. And I'll say this, Brandon. I went and saw Bentley Friday afternoon in Salina. He made it very clear that he's going to take both visits. And so that might have been more of a negative thing if you're hearing that on Friday, knowing that, okay, Oklahoma's going to get the first shot, but there's no chance they convince him not to take the LSU visit, right? Now you hear it very differently. oh, LSU gets the first shot, but there's no way they can prevent him from taking that visit to Oklahoma June 6th through the 8th. So it lines up nicely for Oklahoma, I think. There's a lot of conflicting intel on the situation. You'll get people saying LSU has the inside track. You'll get people saying OU has the inside track. Look, Brandon, like I think naturally we cover OU. Our intel is going to be consciously or unconsciously somewhat slanted toward Oklahoma, and we should probably be mindful of that. I think the sum of the intel that we've collected leans in OU's direction, but again, that's some part of that is natural. Nevertheless,
right,
going into OV season, I don't think you can reliably say it's LSU for Bo Bentley or it's OU for Bo Bentley, and mm-hmm. somebody's going to have to change his mind during the OVs. I think he's still genuinely undecided and waiting to see what these programs are going to put before him in terms of a final pitch on those OV weekends and how they stack up against one another. So I know everybody would love to hear that, oh, it's trending OU, it's trending OU, OU's got the inside track already, and now especially that they have the last visit, it sets up well for them to close out on Bentley. And it does set up well, but I don't think there is a trend right now in this recruitment. I think Bo Bentley is, to a certain extent, comfortable with the fit at LSU. He's comfortable with the fit at Oklahoma. I don't know that in his mind there's a wrong answer between the two. It just comes down to which one is all in all the better fit when push comes to shove and it's time to make a decision. So at this point, can OU give him the better OV or will that be LSU? Can OU make the more compelling sell or will that be LSU? That question, fortunately, will be answered within the next 3 weeks.
And I mean, the odds are that when Bo Bentley comes on his official visit, I'm going to throw out a wild guess that John Mateer is going to be hosting him. Just guessing, knowing what we know of their relationship, right? That would be a great move for Oklahoma. And naturally, you would assume that Garrett Nussmeier is probably going to be the one that hosts him at LSU. And he looks up to both of those guys. They're both North Texas guys, right? They both grew up around each other. Like, all three grew up around each other. And they're friends. And everybody wants to lean on this John Mateer relationship. You're completely missing out on the fact that Garrett Nussmeier and Bo Bentley know each other quite well. You know, as well, I guess. Quite well, too. I don't know how that would phrase that correctly. But so there's that interesting aspect. And then, obviously, you have the Jaden O'Neal official visit on the 20th. And you would assume that Michael Hawkins is probably going to host him. They're pretty decent friends as well. So Oklahoma is a good, I mean, they're in a good spot with both. And I think that's where you want to be if you're Coach Arbuckle and just see where the chips fall. But we're going to get asked this question. You heard the conversation I was just on, just truth be told. Do you feel better? And I'll give my answer here in just a minute and know what I know from the Mustang side of everything here pretty quick. Do you feel better about Oklahoma's chances after what you heard? Keep getting both quarterbacks.
I still think it's a long shot.
Agreed.
I still think it's a real long shot. You know, I think in a dreamland scenario, in an ideal world, you'd love to think they're is some realm where Bo Bentley and Jaden O'Neal can coexist in OU's class. But that's asking a lot, man. It's asking a lot, especially because these are two nationally coveted dudes, right? It's not like the situation in 2024 or even 2006 for that matter, right? Those are the last two cycles in which Oklahoma took two quarterbacks. In 2024, you had a legit nationally recruited, nationally coveted guy in Michael Hawkins. And then the second quarterback was a bit of an under the radar sleeper kid from up in Northeast Ohio named Brendan Zerbrug that Oklahoma managed to flip from Northwestern. And Oklahoma was pretty clearly, I mean, by leaps and bounds, the most prestigious school on his offer sheet. You go back to 2006, Oklahoma signed Keith Nichol, and they signed Sam Bradford. Right, Bradford was right down the road. Not hard, especially at the time with where Oklahoma was at as a program, to convince a guy like that to jump on board. Even
to be fair, both the players this year are right down the road, if you will. You know what I mean? Like
that is true. That is true, but geography mattered a lot more back then.
That is very true.
Yeah, geography. I'm not convinced geography has ever mattered less in recruiting than it does.
Very true.
You'd love to believe OU can make this work, and if Ben Arbuckle can somehow make it work,
goodness gracious,
yeah, go ahead, hand him a lifetime contract because that is the sell of the century.
Can we dive into the why? It's like everybody wants to talk about it doesn't make sense to take two quarterbacks or both quarterbacks to be in the class, but we've never really dove into why it makes sense. And from a pure roster building standpoint, 100% from a roster, from an offensive standpoint, everybody wants to go, oh, well, you hear the people. I don't say this. I'm just going to be, because I think Jaden O'Neal is a very underrated mobile quarterback. He's a passer first, runner second, but he can run. Anybody that doesn't think he can, and I'll tell you this, this is what I do know. After the showcase that he put on with the five universities that were up there, and they were legit five amazing schools, right? Very prestigious programs. And talking to the staffs that were there, and every one of those staffers were like, he moves so much better than what you think he can move. He is a very underrated mobile quarterback. But the thing is he looks so big in a uniform, and he plays so strong in the pocket that you don't perceive Jaden O'Neal as this guy that's going to break out and run. But he took his own read. And they did this on purpose when they were doing team stuff. And I kid you not, Parker, you've seen him run, so you know what I'm talking about. He swallows the yardage up. Like, it took two steps, and he carved up like 6 yards.
He's a long strider. Strides.
Long strider. Like, very Vince Young-esque as far as, like, how he runs. And I'm not saying he runs as good as Vince Young. That's stupid. But how, just the style. So, like, just a long strider. Because Vince Young was a long strider. He wasn't somebody that was juking a bunch of people out. He was very, very quick.
He wasn't twitchy fast.
Yeah, he wasn't twitchy fast. And so that's what you get with Jaden. Like, and he's a big, strong guy. So he's going to be able to take the hits the way that Vince Young did. Like, I think you're going to get – he's going to be a 225, 230-pound kid when it's all said and done and be able to move the way that he does. That fits Arbuckle's system. I don't care what anybody says. He fits Arbuckle's system. Now, he doesn't look physically like a John Mateer or a Bo Bentley. They're built differently. But in the same sense, Bo Bentley and Jaden O'Neal are very similar in height and weight. They just look differently in a uniform. And that's kind of where people's biases come from there. But I will say this. I think that, like you said, in the perfect world, you could get both. But from a roster standpoint, you need both. You do. You need both. Because Jet New's brother just committed to Oklahoma State. Where was Jet New committed to before he flipped to Oklahoma?
Oh, boy.
Oklahoma State.
So okay. What are we thinking here?
Oh, come on now. Like, this is a transfer portal world. Like, we're not stupid and naive to not think there's a possibility that that could happen down the road. right?
Well, I mean, these days there's a possibility that anyone and everyone on roster.
I'm throwing out possibilities. Like, I'm not saying that's going to happen.
But yeah, no, you're right, and the point remains. Like, you cannot count
even on Neubauer.
Well, yeah,
like Gonzalez, same thing, right? Use it for a bump.
Mm-hmm. Look, it is to Oklahoma's advantage to push for two quarterbacks in the class, because if you can get two good ones, if you can get two of them that are worth the take, then you probably don't have to go back to the portal next offseason to go get a quarterback.
And who's going to be better fit long-term as your second and third string guy moving forward in 2026? Because both John Mateer and Michael Hawkins aren't coming back. One or the other is coming back. So you're losing one of those. Like, I think we can say that, right? If Mateer comes back, the odds Hawkins stays, you think that's within the realm of possibility? Sure, he could stay. Do you think he will? What do you think the odds are for that, Parker? You know him better than I do. And everybody, the odds of them staying if John Mateer returns aren't very good.
No, it's same thing as it was this last offseason with Arnold and Hawkins. It's one or the other. It'll be one or the other.
So you got that. Now you're down to one quarterback, and whoever they get, one of the two quarterbacks in 2026. Now, if you get both of those, you're going to want to have that in the SEC. You would rather have let's say Mateer goes to the league. You would rather have Michael Hawkins, Jaden O'Neal, Bo Bentley as your 1-2-3, right? Like, that's what you would rather have than and it's nothing against Whit Neubauer, no offense, but I'm going to sit here and say that talent-wise, those two top 250 kids are probably better quarterbacks.
I like Whit Neubauer.
I do too.
I think he could turn into something.
Okay.
If he sticks around long enough.
That's the point.
And
I talked to somebody today that specifically said, wouldn't shock anybody around the Switzer Center if he pulled the Gonzalez and said, but he did it obviously after the season. We all expected Gonzalez to do it after the season, not in spring, which shocked us, but also proved our point that the quarterback room is so volatile right now that you have to have two, because you could end up with just one quarterback and have to go grab a bunch of the portal. That would not be good. So that's the whole point. That's why you want to take two in this class if you're Ben Arbuckle. And that's why he's pushing so hard for those that don't quite understand it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about what we were all thinking last year, given what we had heard from the horse's mouth, or the horse's mouths in this case, and just of what we knew with the three individual situations. You felt like you had three guys in Jackson Arnold, Michael Hawkins, and Brendan Zerbrug that were going to be around for the long haul at Oklahoma that weren't going anywhere. Here we are a year later, one of them's back. And that's just the nature of the beast in college football. Yep. So if you can take two quarterbacks of Jaden O'Neal and Bo Bentley's caliber, respectively, you do it. Again, I don't know that that's necessarily realistic, but it is noble to try.
It's more realistic now than it was, though, correct? We'll put it like that. We'll have more on that on OU Insider. I will say this. Oklahoma did an in-home with the O'Neals today. And I'll read the quote that it's just a quick quote I put up on OU Insider VIP for everybody. I was told it was a very good and interesting visit, with both sides doing a great job of airing out their thoughts, likes, and issues with one another. Like, and there's no problem. They're not mad at each other. There's not none of that. Like, the issues in the fair shake, like, is Bo Bentley Arbuckle's guy, like, that has been pushed out as a narrative by plenty. We haven't said that on OU Insider because we know that he wants both. Ben Arbuckle wants both. And so it's not this is one guy over the other or anything like that. That's never been really the case. Did he inherit Jaden O'Neal? Yes, he inherited him. But if he didn't want Jaden O'Neal, he would have offered a bunch of other quarterbacks the second he got there. He offered one. That's it. Bo Bentley. And he's tried to keep Jaden O'Neal and worked very hard. He And from what we were told, Arbuckle even admitted to the O'Neills tonight that there were some bumps in the road when he first got there and that he takes full blame for some of the issues that have built up. And so things are moving in a better direction. Oklahoma sent the house. They sent Emmett Jones. They sent Todd Bates, Joe John Finley, Ben Arbuckle, all did the in-home tonight with them. So that was a big deal. And you don't send four coaches, mind you, if that in-home is not important, Parker.
Mm-hmm.
That's how bad they want Jaden O'Neill. Just so everybody knows, understands that. Like, that's how bad they want him. So, and we'll have more. I'll have more on this for everybody because there's a lot of really good intel that we were told tonight. And we're working on more intel for you guys for this instance. And Parker has all the Bo Bentley stuff. I'll have the Jaden O'Neill stuff on OU Insider. It's where you got to be. You broke, on another note, you broke some news tonight.
We've broken a lot of news.
Yeah, we have broken more specific. We have broken a lot of news on OU Insider.
There's been recently. A lot of news.
Very true. Very true.
On top of over the last several days over at OUinsider.com because that's what we do and that's what time of year it is. There's a lot of news flying around and we are all over it. So, sorry, what news specifically are you referring to here?
I was more or less going to talk about a particular running back situation.
Yes.
With DeZephon Walker.
Yes.
Two
blue chip targets for Oklahoma. Yes. Just locked in their OVs today.
Correct.
For the month of June. You want to know the identity of the other one, hop over to OUinsider.com. But yeah, DeZephon Walker out of Peculiar, Missouri. We talked about him on the last podcast. He's a guy that had been kind of focusing on Kansas State, Nebraska, and Notre Dame. Notre Dame filled up at running back last week, picked up a commitment from Janaz Walton out of the state of Georgia. So between him and Javian Osborne down at Forney, they no longer have need for a running back in the 2026 class. So DeZephon Walker was scheduled to OV with the Irish next month, June 13th. Mm-hmm. He has pulled that visit off the calendar. He will be at the University of Oklahoma June 13th instead, where as of right now, Brandon, he is the only confirmed official visitor for that weekend because that was the Bo Bentley weekend before
that
today.
Was the Bo Bentley weekend.
So now it's the DeZephon Walker weekend, which, for a kid that's a legit blue chipper at the running back position, big-bodied, although he is big-bodied, still a very shifty runner, good hips, good burst, a very complete back. If he's never been to campus before, and that's the reality for DeZephon Walker, he has never visited the University of Oklahoma, it probably works to your advantage to be able to go all hands on deck with a guy like that over the course of a single weekend. So I like how that lines up for Oklahoma. Now, they're contending mainly with Nebraska here is the sense I get. He's already OV'd to Kansas in early April. He's going to OV to Kansas State on the 6th through the 8th of June. But the sense I've gotten is that that is an OU Nebraska battle down the stretch here.
That's what Oklahoma feels as well. Yep.
Yeah. I guess you can't be shocked with what Kansas is doing to try and build a fence around the state right now, the Sunflower State, that is. I guess you can't be shocked if they just decide we got to have Walker and they make the requisite concessions, right? But for now, I'm pretty comfortable asserting that that's going to be either Oklahoma or Nebraska. And Nebraska has a lot of baked-in advantages here because Oklahoma just offered Walker 2 weeks ago. So this is pretty fresh, but he does have a lot of respect for everything Oklahoma is as a program, DeMarco Murray as a running backs coach. And so we'll see where this one goes, Brandon. You're flying blind right now, right? Kind of a shot in the dark with Walker because he's never visited. You have no idea how this is going to go. But I think they go into official visits no worse than second for Walker. And hey, if you finish second, that's worth something in this day and age, right? Because finishing second is more significant than it ever has been before because of the highly fluid nature of roster construction across the country. Mm-hmm. So good spot to be in if you're Oklahoma. Hey, two commits since we last recorded the podcast. I mentioned it off the top, but let's dive into those a little bit. Nico Jandro's on board for Oklahoma.
Have we not potted since then?
No, I don't think we have. He committed last Tuesday.
Oh, we did the live on Monday. I forgot. No, but we potted after that, right? Like on Thursday, right? No?
Did we?
Pretty positive.
Anyway, maybe we did talk about the Jandro recruitment.
We did, but...
No, we did. Yeah, so we talked about Jandro. The one we haven't talked about is Ja'Cory Smith. There you go.
Correct.
Ja'Cory Smith, the blue chip linebacker out of the state of Arkansas. Two straight classes now, Brandon, that Oklahoma has dipped into the natural state, which is not something they've done since the class of 2019 with Stacey Wilkins. So,
correct.
That state may yield additional returns here for Oklahoma in the next month or so, looking at Matthew Nelson and Braxton Lindsay most specifically, but they are back in Arkansas with the addition of Ja'Cory Smith, which kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, Marion Robinson last year, Marcus Wimberly, they've been diving into the natural state more and more since Brent Venables has arrived, or at least trying to, at least. Braxton Lindsay is another one that Oklahoma is working feverishly to try to get in the 2026 class at linebacker. And Ja'Cory Smith is one of the, you talked about the many breaking news things. We broke that news essentially the night before it took place, told everybody, hey, something's brewing there with Ja'Cory Smith, kind of out of the blue, like you said. And that, it was interesting in the sense that it felt like Kansas State, Nebraska were making pushes there. Arkansas naturally was making a push there, but Oklahoma and Nate Dreiling did a really good job the week before when they did their in-home slash school visit with him and really laid out the groundwork. And I think the weird part is seeing Nico Jandro commit, knowing that Bo Jandro is probably right around the corner, has allowed Oklahoma to essentially, because they're probably taking three or four linebackers in this class. Like,
dude, this backer class is going to be killer.
It's going to be really good.
It's going to be a killer linebacker class because this could go a variety of different ways. And all of them are fantastic. Like, you think about this. You can I don't know if you can sharpie Bo Jandro into the class with the world we live in nowadays, but you can pencil Bo Jandro into the class. It's him. It's Ja'Cory Smith. Oklahoma leads for Braxton Lindsay, as far as I'm concerned. They lead for Ben Wenzel out of the state of Wisconsin. A kid that you and I and Greg Smith all entered future casts in concert last week, coming out of his unofficial visit.
Oh, three Caucasian persuasion linebackers, by the way. Very Brent Venables-esque.
Wait, no. Lindsay and Jandro aren't.
Oh, my gosh. Why do I always think that they're half, though, right? Correct.
I mean, yeah, they're partial. Okay, yes.
Partial. Yes. I guess. Why do I always think Braxton? Every time I think Braxton Lindsay's Caucasian, I don't know why I think that, and I know he's not. I do that every time. Anyways, go ahead. You ruined my joke. My joke's ruined now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for undermining the humor there. But accuracy is the paramount quality of media writing.
Yes, it is.
And podcasting. Feel like you got Bo Jandro. You know you got Ja'Cory Smith. That's two, right? That's two spots. Mm-hmm. You lead for Braxton Lindsay. You lead for Ben Wenzel. Oklahoma's top two for Keenan Harris right now, the four-star out of St. Louis, Missouri. No worse than second there. Oklahoma's top two for Quebec out of Carthage, Texas.
Which is shocking, by the way.
They've got a shot with Talanoa Ealy. I mean, they're getting him on campus. That's the one in the group that I just feel like there's not much.
It's USC, Oregon, Oklahoma. Those are the three battling there. Yeah.
And then you got Adam Balogun-Ali, who's an Oklahoma native, although he lives in Florida these days. So there are a variety of different ways that you could fill out this linebacker class. I think the most likely outcome outside of Smith and Jandro would be Braxton Lindsay and Ben Wenzel.
Mm-hmm.
But man, This is a baller linebacker class for Nate Dowling. If it comes to, and it doesn't have to come together exactly like that. That's the point. Regardless of how it comes together, this is a killer class of backers.
It's insane. I guess a big, let's say they get Wenzel, Jandro, Smith, and Lindsey. Okay. Let's say you get those four. And let's say Ely or how do you pronounce the other kid's name? I don't want to butcher. I'll let you
Balogun know. Ali.
Balogun Ali. Is that right?
Yes.
Balogun Ali. You get one of those two. Or let's say one of the other four, right? Decide they want to commit. Do you take the commit knowing the numbers crunch that you have? Mainly because you don't have to take a corner in this class. Like, you don't have to.
No, you really don't.
You could take from a corner and move it over to linebacker and fight for another day at corner. Could you not?
You could.
Would you?
I think right now with this crop of backers, and I love them all, like, there's not a single backer amongst the group that we cited that I feel like, he's just kind of a ho-hum dude at the next level.
No, you're not.
All these guys can provide a ton of value. And I'm especially high on Ben Wenzel, man. He's the lowest ranked of the bunch. Ben Wenzel, to me, and I know people think highly of him in the Switzer Center, I am bullish on that kid because he just gets it. His style of play, man, highly instinctual.
He's got
athleticism, great speed, can go sideline to sideline with the best of them. But the way that he executes those run fits, man, the way that he fills those lanes, it's remarkable. I think there's a ton to like about that kid. So the fact that Oklahoma's trending in that recruitment, I think, you know, if he commits and it's a 5.5 three-star guy, there are a lot of Oklahoma fans that are going to dismiss that as insignificant, and those people simply have not watched the tape because Ben Wenzel is an awesome football player. But I think you take, to answer your question, Brandon, in a roundabout sense, I think you take up to five.
Yeah.
I think you can you make room for five if there are five that want to come, because you only have seven scholarship backers right now.
Yep.
Right? So this can be a heavy class. It will be a heavy class. Even though four might seem like the highest reasonable number at that position, I think with the athletes that you have amongst the contingent that we mentioned, it would be perfectly understandable and right, in my opinion, mm-hmm. to make room for five.
Yeah. No, I think two inside, two outside, I think that's probably I think that's the baseline of where they're at. And if you can take one or two more, you probably do it just because, and keep in mind that you're probably still going to take one or two transfers as well to be kind of come in and be kind of the leaders of a young core and do everything. Cause I mean, I guess there's an opportunity of Kip Lewis coming back, I guess, right? A chance.
Yeah, I don't think that's something that you bank on.
You don't
because
bank
of
on
how impressive
all.
He's been the last two years. But yes, you acknowledge that there's a chance.
There's a chance.
The guy that's gone for sure is Kendall Daniels.
Correct. And everybody else has a chance to come back. So you don't bank on it, but there's a chance. If you could somehow get like a second team All-SEC performance out of Kip Lewis and still convince him to come back because he's a third or fourth rounder with a chance to move up, you do it and you throw as much money as you possibly and endorsements as you possibly can at him to make that work. Otherwise, you're going to have to do the same thing for somebody big in the portal. And I think that's where OU's head's probably at, is get the four or five guys, young guys, and then try to have a good leadership core of a Kobe McKenzie, Kip Lewis type of veteran leadership to kind of move them forward into the 2027 season, because you would be set for 26 with a young backup core with the guys that you brought in 25 and 26 class. But that 27 year, you're going to need the 2026 class and the 2025 linebackers to be exactly what this core is right now, and that's leadership. And to be the guys long term, the way that Kip Lewis and a Danny Stutzman were, and a Kobe McKenzie, naturally. So there's a lot to play with there as far as linebacker goes. A lot of wiggle room for Oklahoma, but it's good wiggle room because they have a lot of talent that they're in on. This is what Oklahoma fans envisioned, Parker, when Brent Venables got the job. Like, this is what linebacker recruiting is going to turn into. And up to this point, outside of 2022, it really hasn't. 2023, I guess, was good, but a lot of those guys left through the portal. That's the unfortunate part. They looked good on paper, but they never really produced on the field the way 2022 has. And so you need 24, 25, and 26 linebackers to really take shape moving forward in a big way for Brent Venables, in a big way. I guess we can talk tight end. That's the other position that has just kind of been in flux, if you will.
Tyler Ruxer, Sooner?
Yeah. I don't want to say that yet. Working on setting up an OV right now. He's got him set up to Minnesota Duke, Northwestern right now. He just took his Northwestern visit, actually, last week, or the week before last. And then this past weekend, he took an unofficial to Oklahoma. He's going to take an official visit. And I think to Oklahoma, the exact date I don't have yet, but I'm supposed to talk to him. We're recording this on a Monday night. I'm supposed to talk to him on a Tuesday night at some point, and I'm going to get all the complete details. But from what I was told, the visit went as good as possible. He did an in-home with Northwestern tonight, or we would have done our interview tonight. But if you go watch his film, he is a very, very athletic, but he's got a big frame to him. And I think that's what you look at is he's fast, he's athletic. And I know saying a 3-star is a number one player in Indiana, whatever, I know people look at that and they scoff at it. I challenge everybody to go watch his film. I really do. Because I think if you go watch Ruxer's film, you're going to come away and go, oh, hell, this dude can ball.
Yeah, well, good rule of thumb here. Before you weigh in on recruiting and specifically 3-star takes, you should watch the film for your own benefit. Because we've seen this so many times in years gone by. And I think there are people out there, and there are still people out there that do the whole 3-star you thing. But man, if you were to watch the film on every single one of the players that has committed to Oklahoma over the last 4 cycles as a 3-star, i.e., at the time that they were committed, they were a 3-star. Mm-hmm. What you will find is a ton of dudes that were very obviously better than 3-stars.
Yep.
And their final ranking showed that.
Yeah.
A great example would be somebody like Samuel Masigo, right? Like, and I know that the greatest example is PJ because he wound up a 5-star. But mm-hmm. Samuel Masigo was the quintessential, okay, that's not a 3-star when you flipped on his tape. And he wound up being a top 100 player in the country.
Danny Okoye also was a 3-star. He ended up being one of the top, I think, 150 players in the country, right? When it was all said and done. Who else? Jaden Jackson? Eli Bowen? 3-stars for the longest time.
Yeah.
I mean, and look, both of them on some services even stayed 3-stars. So the whole 3-star U, that's great. Oklahoma built their national prominence in the 2000s and 2010s on a lot of 3-stars backs. A lot of 3-star backs. Not running backs, like the backs of 3-stars. And so we're not sitting here and championing like 3-stars. And
yeah, there are some 3-stars that are legit 3-stars.
Yeah, they're legit 3-stars. But there's a lot of them out there that, you know, you can't name everybody a 4-star. It starts to lose its luster. So mm-hmm. you're going to get guys that probably should be a 4-star that stay a 3-star. And I think Tyler Ruxer is one of those. And I think he's going to be a four-star when it's all said and done. This is a really good eval by Jojon Finley and company.
He already is, now I'll say this. He already is a four-star on what is now our sister service on
that's
three.
That's very true. I think he's like top 250 with them, too.
He's just about top 150.
Yeah, he's really high. He's a very, very good player. He's worth the offer. He's worth the eval. Again, people in Switzer Center are super high on him, and rightfully so. When he gets the official visit lined up, I think Oklahoma's going to be tough to beat. He is an academic guy. You see that with the Duke OV. You see that with the Northwestern OV. You see that with Minnesota. Oklahoma's kind of the – and we were talking about this off-air, Parker. It's an academic school, but not to the ranking of those three. Those three are a little bit different than Oklahoma. But Oklahoma is nothing to like scoff at when it comes to academics. Like, it's a top academic type of university, just not a Duke or a Northwestern. But not very many people are Duke or Northwestern, Parker. So, I mean, he is an academic guy, but he's also understands football. And if you want to be a really good football player and play tight end and make it, as far as he probably would like, I think you look at the schools that he's in on right now and go, that SEC school's produced a lot more than everybody else that's offered me. And the guy that is coaching, I know it's Jojon Finley. I know there's a lot of people that dislike him. He played in the league, so at least knows what it takes to get there.
Yeah.
So he does have that going for him. But we'll have more on Ruxer. Is there another, like, do you feel like Oklahoma is about to take off in recruiting
yes, and that could potentially happen as soon as this next Friday, because do you feel like there's a strong OU vibe with four-star defensive lineman Brian Harris out Jacksonville, Florida, Mandarin High School. OU's really come on strong there. He's only visited once, but man, there are a lot of boxes that Oklahoma managed to check with Brian Harris, and they align nicely with who he is as a player and as a person. And it does feel like that one is trending in OU's favor as we approach the decision. So, look, you can't take anything for granted when the kid hasn't completely finalized the decision, and he hasn't. Brian Harris, last I checked with him a couple days ago, he said he was still weighing the options between his final two schools. He was down to two from his original five or final five. And I got the sense that that was Oklahoma and South Carolina, just reading between the lines with some of the things that he said. And it makes sense, right? South Carolina makes a lot of sense for a defensive lineman with what they've been able to do in recent years. And for Oklahoma, and again, just a very natural fit for everything that Brian Harris is and wants. So I feel pretty good about the Sooners. Haven't quite entered a future cast, but it's probably one that... Don't be shocked if you see one go in here in the next day or two as we get closer to a decision there from Harris.
Yeah, it feels like you're right. It does feel, and I think Oklahoma's starting to feel fairly confident there. But like I said the other day when we talked about it, feeling confident nowadays is kind of... not very many people, and exactly what they told me is you can only feel as confident as you can possibly be knowing the situation with NIL, because something can change snap of a finger. Somebody could throw something out there that you didn't see coming as far as money goes and monetarily speaking. So Oklahoma's confident. They feel like they've done a good job. And I was told, you know, the funny thing is the guys that Oklahoma have been landing have chosen Oklahoma because they want to be Sooners. There's not a lot of major, major NIL talk with a lot of these guys just yet. That's been the biggest thing that a couple of sources like echoed to me is like, these guys want to be Sooners, like very much so. And you know the NIL talk, it always happens at the end when things start to signing and all that type. But I think fans would love to hear that. I mean, that, and it's probably refreshing, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to pass that along. I think that's pretty cool as well.
Man, we've covered a ton of ground on this podcast, yeah, and it is still only scratching the surface of all the content that we've provided for members over the last week and a half at OUinsider.com as things have really started to heat up in advance of official visit season. So, folks, look, OUinsider.com, definitely the place to be right now for all things OU recruiting. If this is the stuff that you're just consumed by, that you get really, really into, especially this time of year, if you're deeply invested in what this football program is doing on the recruiting trail, there is no better place for intel.
25 on the front page, 25, by the way, between pinned and unpinned notes on recruiting that Parker and I have dropped in the last 5 days. 25. That's a lot of notes, and a lot of those notes have multiple recruits in them, mm-hmm, and updates in them. So whether it's 26, 27, 28 class, we have just been just throwing out. I'm hitting the road tomorrow, going to Tulsa, going to see, who am I going to see? I'm going to see Caden, four-star, Rivals 100, 150, I believe. 2027 offensive lineman, Caden Penny, right? Rivals potential five-star offensive lineman, Cooper Hackett out of Fort Gibson. Also going by Broken Arrow, we'll be seeing 2026 three-star defensive back offer, Braden Presley. Who else am I going to see, Parker? I'm talking about most of the schools in Tulsa tomorrow. I will be by, seeing a lot. We'll have a bunch of notes updated on OU Insider VIP. Parker's got stuff that he's been out to see and talk to as well. I will be going down to DFW, see a couple of players as well this week. We probably have another 10 or 15 notes going to drop over the next 4 or 5 days for you guys a piece. So, yeah, OU Insider's where it's at. And we're going to have some team notes, off-season team notes, what to expect. I know they're not back. The players are at home. They're doing their own thing, whatever. But we've got some notes for what happened, you know, post-spring workouts, all that type of stuff. We're going to have all that for you guys on OU Insider VIP. So it's $9.95 a month, $99.95 for the whole year. If you're a college student, .edu, email us, OUinsider@rivals.com. From your .edu, we will hook you up. We will hook you up with $11.95 for the whole year. We will send you a promo code. You put the promo code in, bam, you get OU Insider VIP for a whole year, 12 months, less than $1 a month. Same thing, active duty military. You have an active duty military account, email account, emails from that active duty military account or the .edu email account to OUinsider@rivals.com. We'll send you a promo code, bam, $11.95 for the whole year. All right, that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed night.